All right, and welcome back to What Happened to Us with Nate, Sam, and Hugh. Sam will be most likely joining us sometime in the middle of our conversation, as he does.
Then we'll just replay everything we said.
And we'll do a quick recap.
Yeah.
We got to speed that one up a bit, maybe.
Yeah, we need to get better about that. But the problem is that we never know when she's going to pop on. So it's not like it's a planned segment.
No. I do kind of like us. It keeps us on our toes, folks.
We'll do our best.
Exactly. So
How are you, Hugh?
Well, you know, it's interesting watching democracy collapse as we speak.
Oh yeah, but that's been the story for a while.
It has been for a while, but I didn't think it would be this quickly, you know. Rome didn't burn in a day, as they say.
It was like 3 or 4 days.
Exactly. It was over But with the Ides of March having happened not that long ago. But we were looking at, I know you saw the news that the Cheeto cannot afford the current fraud balance.
Shocking. Wait, are you telling me he's not really a billionaire?
What? I guess not.
Yeah. Well, the judgment in the fraud case was 464. I think that was with interest.
That's what the total is at this point in time. And every day he doesn't. I think he has till Thursday to come up with a bond or the money to pay for. Yeah.
And because he has to pay a bond in order to appeal, which he plans on doing. Because that's all he does. He's guilty of all these things. The best he can do is keep delaying. Although that only helps him for the federal cases. Like his whole strategy now is get elected and pardon myself.
That can't work for these ones.
Well, he can do for two of them.
Yeah, but not the Eugene Carroll or this one, actually.
No, and I'm not entirely
Not even the
sure
Georgia one.
Yeah, because those are the states. Georgia one is state, and the New York. There's two in New York. There's the financial fraud,
right?
Which is not a criminal trial.
That was just civil.
But that's where this thing was for the payment. And then the other one is the Stormy Daniels hush money,
right?
Which is also state.
Yes,
it's a state charge. So he can't do anything about that. People keep saying different states have different laws. But people keep saying, well, why doesn't – is it still Brian Kemp, I think, the governor of Georgia? They're like, well, why doesn't he just drop the charges for the election fraud stuff down there? And it turns out Georgia's constitution does not allow the governor to do that.
Yes.
The governor of Georgia cannot pardon.
So what they're going to do is – probably change the law in Georgia when they have a Republican, which they can, which I'm sure they're working on at this present time.
Oh, yeah, probably. So he has to post the bond, which I'm a little unclear. The bond is not the total amount. It's like a portion of the amount, right?
I don't
really know how that works.
Okay, so a bond is the person who's asking for the bond usually puts about 10% down of the bond.
Yeah, right.
And what they're saying, like every bond company for the $467 billion has said no, that he's gone to. It's like four agencies, 30 companies.
30. Yeah.
And all of them said no because it's not cash. They're not putting, it's assets. So.
And even then, I'm questioning his real estate assets because he might like to claim that Mar-a-Lago.
He's being sued for. He's being sued for this. Like Mar-a-Lago was in the court was said like $18 to $26 million.
Yeah,
and he's like 50 to 100% more.
Yeah, no.
So
yeah.
You know,
but even his bill, like I like a lot of people are like, you know, if he cannot secure this bond by Thursday, you said, is that the deadline?
Yeah, I believe so.
The day this comes out, then they can basically start repossessing his shit.
Yep.
People are like, we'll go for Trump Tower first.
Oh, absolutely.
It's New York. I like that idea.
And the problem is he doesn't own the majority of the properties that has his name.
No, it's like he licenses his name.
Yeah.
Which over the last 7 years now, not a good business strategy. You'll notice a lot of the buildings that used to be called Trump something, even though they were not owned by Trump, they were just licensed. That used to be a name that meant something. Mm-hmm. Now it means something in a very bad way. So you'll see a lot of buildings going around online where you see like the Trump signs being taken down because they don't want to be known for that anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess we'll see. But yeah, the other stuff is moving so slow because he seems to be winning a lot of these delays.
It's not that he's winning these delays. It's the Supreme Court stepped in and decided to review the immunity clause.
That'll slow it down.
Slowed everything down. They came in very quickly to get him back on the ballot of Colorado, where, you know, I always find it funny when Republicans in general are like state rights, state rights, state rights. And then when a state decides to do something, they're like, oh, we'll go by the federal.
No. Yeah,
no. It's against what we believe.
Yeah.
It's sidism at its finest, as always. It's nothing new. Like, we've seen it, and it's a bit.
I will say, though, that even though there's the Supreme Court's certainly done a lot over the last several years that is very questionable.
Oh, you think?
But I will say that they are not, generally speaking, pro-Trump. They are pro the issues they are pro for, like anti-abortion and things. They've ruled against Trump many times when it comes to the law.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe that they're going to side with him over these things. They side with like the abortion stuff. They side with, I'm sure when gay marriage comes up, they're going to have a say. But those are all policies, not specifically Trump. Like, I don't know if the Supreme Court necessarily cares who's president, is what I'm saying.
I believe
it doesn't affect them in any way. They're Supreme Court justices for life. They don't really care who the president is,
which we need to get rid of. It is an absolute.
Yeah, like the Supreme Courts of the states are like elected, popularly elected. That could be a way to go.
That would be fine. But
and they have term limits. They have term limits.
You give them 10 to 15 years, maybe.
There should, like, that. You know, the federal judges, the appeals judges, all of those are jobs for life. That should not be the case.
No.
Ruining everything for the stolen documents, where I've seen so many law experts on Twitter say, like, we don't understand what she's doing. Like, no decision she's made has any basis in reality.
No.
But they, so there is a chance, because she's been
this bad.
She's been rebuked by the appeals court so many times. People say there actually is a decent chance she'll get pulled off this case, because it's so obvious what she's doing.
It's
like she has to be more subtle about it.
No, it's too late. It's her subtlety's gone.
They can pull her, though.
They can, but that's Jack Smith call, and he's waiting for something to happen. I'm like, you don't have time to wait now.
No, we're on a dead, like, if this were last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, we would have had time. Now we're on the
clock. That's the other thing. That's Merrick Garland has been horrible. He played everything. He should have been, as soon as day one came into office, investigations.
Instead of the prior administration, Garland was doing everything he could to not seem partisan.
And you know what the funny thing about Merrick Garland is, if you haven't paid attention to any people out there, he is not a good, he's a very conservative judge.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that. Obama chose him because he wanted him, he would be rushed through by conservatives. Obviously that wasn't the case. Morally speaking, he's fine, but he's very lenient on white collar crimes. Like, we're at the lowest we've ever been in that as a country. So he's letting a lot of things slide when it comes to corporations and them getting away with highway murder, essentially. So that's fun. You know, good stuff. Like, he needs to be, like, he should have been fired 2 years ago. Like, probably. If I'm being honest, he wasn't doing anything. But Joe Biden, doing Joe Biden things. So, well, we'll see what happens, but I don't see anything.
Well, on a lighter note,
please.
Kate Middleton's still missing.
Oh, yes. But I thought she was seen at...
Was she?
First off, I want to apologize for opening this rabbit hole to you. I feel like you've taken this a little bit more...
Oh, I've become...
Rookie novice of the royal family, and I've
become the Charlie Day meme from Always Sunny with the Pepe, was it like Pepe Silvia or something like that?
Yeah.
Where it's the yarn.
You got the red rope everywhere.
All the pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
I've become that because what's happened is this, is that I don't know if you ever go on the For You tab on Twitter.
Yes,
you
I know, have.
There
yes.
is there is the followers tab, which is the that's what you want to look at on Twitter because those are the people you follow. Then there's the For You tab that Elon inserted to get his crazy bots and things to get them more of a platform. They just pop up in your timeline.
By the way, that makes a funny thing because I was on the For You tab by accident. I'm always on that.
Well, because it that's the default. When you open Twitter, it puts you on the For You.
So I saw a sponsored advertisement for a t-shirt that was essentially a vacation shirt with three crosses on the breast. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh, this is a very Christian-y type white nationalist t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Why is this being sponsored towards me or shown towards me? I'm like, it's ridiculous, but continue on your rabbit hole.
So the way the For You works, and I don't realize it. It takes me a minute to realize I'm on the For You. I scroll down, I'm like, I don't follow this person. Ah, shit, I'm on the For You tab. Mm-hmm. But it's like built by an algorithm. So it's sort of if you start searching for something, that you know, like algorithms work. Same thing with Instagram. If you start doing searches, they start. Like not cultivating, I don't know the word I'm thinking of, but yeah, they start putting things on your timeline. That's why I don't even go on Instagram anymore. It pisses me off. But evidently I've done enough late as of late that's royal related that now my For You timeline is all Kate Middleton conspiracy theories, and hoo boy, they run all over the place. Most of them seem to be under the impression that Charles is dead and or Kate is dead. Which the Charles part, they realized that whole thing started from a Russian, like it started from a Russian website. The recent news that Charles had already passed away, but he was actually seen today. First in a grainy photo of him in a limo.
A lot of grainy photos over there recently.
You know what? That's weird. It's weird to me that like the first couple attempts to make sure to let people know that Kate was still up and about were all super grainy, which is very unusual because you'd think the paparazzi would be all over this, and they don't generally use low res cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very strange. So that part is odd. But there was a King Charles one this morning of him going to. I don't remember where he's going. That was grainy, and in the grainy photo, did not look like him, which seems on par for the. And this is just my brain is broken now. All these photos look fake to me,
right?
But then there was a more. Then there was an official photo of King Charles. I always want to call him Prince. King Charles in a some sort of official room where he was talking to Korean War veterans, and that photo was very clear. And the only question would be, was it from today? Because that seems to be their other thing, is that all their photos are either manipulated, blurry, or you don't know when they were taken. But the Kate stuff, it's been weird for a while. There have been so many twists and turns since we talked about it last week. But yeah, yesterday there was supposed video and photos of her shopping. I think it's called like the Windsor Market.
Right.
She and William were there. Like down, it's near Windsor Castle or Windsor Cottage, where the hell they live now.
Castle, Windsor Castle.
Castle, yeah. And then, so that came out, and that you'd think that would settle the masses, get them, convince them that was, but no, they've fallen down with, nope, that's not her body double. Some of the people don't even believe that was William. And then, because there are all kinds of questions about, because again, blurry. But there were some things about it that I just thought were odd, where they were walking around in this public space and there were these photos of them. Nobody around them was even giving it a second thought. Like they weren't looking, nobody was looking up. They were all just sitting down doing their business. And it's like, I've seen some people make the argument, oh, it's cause Kate and William are always like, that's their little enclave. So they're always out and about and people just kind of let them have their privacy. But this isn't normal times. This is like people debating whether or not she's still alive. So you'd think there'd be more of a rubbernecking situation if you see them walking down the street, people pulling out their phones, whatnot. There doesn't seem to be any of that. I saw another weird theory that felt dropped me down another rabbit hole where they said it's probably not them or her at the very least, because in the photo she's, depending on the not depth perception, what's that called in films when you have somebody looks bigger than the other because they're closer to the camera? I can't think of that word.
It's the not word is not coming
perspective?
To me. Perspective.
Because of the perspective of the photo, you couldn't necessarily tell, but it looked like Kate was either standing walking next to him or slightly in front of him. And people have pointed out that she doesn't do that because royal protocol is that she always has to be a step behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, oh, that must be a body double. She's walking even with him. Now, I don't necessarily believe that, but it's just questionable. I don't know what she could possibly do to convince the crazy people that she, you know, people have said like, well, why can't she just jump on an Instagram video, essentially a proof of life, which seems odd that she wouldn't, because clearly if that photo and video from them shopping was real, she seems to be in good health. Like she was walking around, she was smiling. Like she's not in a hospital bed. Cause that seemed to be the other theory was, oh man, she must really be bad off if they're not having her out in public. So seeing her in apparently good condition, now people are like, well, why doesn't she film a video? Like she certainly seems like she's in good health to do that. It's all over the place. I don't remember if we talked about last week, the rumor about her supposed affair with the guy who may or may not have been murdered.
Yeah, we did mention it briefly, but it was brushed under the rug by us that, you know.
Yeah. So it's just, there's a lot going on and people are going crazy because, you know, people are royal obsessed anyway. And even the people that aren't royal obsessed are obsessed with this because it's such an insane story.
And it's dirty. Like murder. Missing murder, person,
potential death,
sickness,
just regular death, sickness, potential. I've heard theories, some of the theories about William abdicating he can't really abdicate the throne before you take it, but basically he's stepping out of the line of succession. Okay, the craziest one I heard is that in a fit of rage in a fight, William murdered, or not murdered because it was by accident, accidentally killed Kate. This is the funny, not funniest because it's not funny, but this is the craziest theory. Mm. William accidentally killed Kate, and now as a punishment for it, Charles is kicking him out of like the line of succession. So what that means is technically speaking, Harry is next in line. The theory was that William and the kids would be like the family would be removed from the line of succession, which would technically put Harry
back in line.
Harry is technically the sixth now. It goes William is number one, then George, and they are allowing women in the line of succession.
No, they are, yes.
Now, right? They didn't used to. Okay. Sam.
Talking secession of the throne
If we're talking if Kate Middleton is still missing or if that video we saw of her is real.
I would rather talk about the show Succession.
Well,
I honestly would too, and I never watched it. Oh God, did you see this news just broke this morning that there is new James Bond?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Aaron Taylor Johnson from
I can see that.
Yeah. He was always on the short list. And by the way, the story the story that broke this morning is technically that it's his job if he wants it. He has not officially been announced.
Now, I would say this. If anyone has a question mark like they did with Daniel Craig, watch Bullet Train.
Yeah.
Because that will give you a glimpse of him being Bond,
in my opinion. As much as I love Kick-Ass, he's not the suave, debonair hero in that. He's kind of the nerdy. I mean, Hit Girl's the hero of that story. He's good. He's great. I mean, and people keep talking about how the star of Avengers, Ultron. I was like, he wasn't really in it, and he died.
Yeah.
Like that. He wasn't really in it.
I haven't seen it. God. Spoiler alert. Jesus Christ.
Hey, Sam, the movie's only 8 years old.
Is it only 8 years
old? It doesn't matter.
I thought it's longer than that.
Ultron came out in 2014, I think.
If you ask M. Night Shyamalan, there's no statute of limitations for spoilers. You should never spoil.
That's an M. Night movie. That's
well,
him.
And also,
no, I'm just saying in general.
In the Marvel universe, nobody really dies. They can always, there's multiple universes.
A multiverse,
they can
always
come back.
Yeah.
In fact, that was one of the more clever cameos was in WandaVision when they brought the Quicksilver, the character that Aaron Taylor Johnson plays in the Marvel movies. There's a separate Quicksilver from the X-Men movies, and they brought that actor in, which that was clever.
Yeah.
But But anyway,
who's Quicksilver and
Evan Peters.
There you go. I remember watching that.
Yeah. And those two timelines were separate. Strangely enough, Aaron Taylor Johnson is going to be in not a Marvel movie, but it's the part of the DC extended Spider-Man universe. What, Kraven the Hunter, I think.
Well, it's MCU. It's Marvel.
Is that the MCU? Oh, I thought it was
DC. Because it's Spider-Man.
It's owned by Sony. It's called the Spider-Man universe.
Yes.
That's right. Yes. And that, I don't know anything about that character, but maybe, I mean, hopefully it doesn't go the way of Madame Web.
Oh, it will.
Morbius. Does it look that
bad? Oh, yes. It's going to end up being like that. I believe it's written by the same writers. I believe. Now I'm checking that out right now.
Did you see, I think we talked about before about how they're remaking The Crow,
unfortunately.
But the trailer came out. I don't know if you saw it. I wanted to hate it, but the trailer looks kind of good. It basically they're turning the Crow into like John Wick, where he's like super crazy violent with guns now, which was a little different than the Brandon Lee version. Hugh, you mentioned it. The original Crow was not a good movie. It was made famous because of what happened. And because it looked super cool, but it was not a great
movie. I'm sorry. It wasn't like good, but it was good enough.
Yes.
You know what? We look at nostalgia.
There's
like
different, it's action films are different on a different level.
Like when we went back and saw Big Trouble in Little China at the theater in that Los Feliz theater. When you're watching it, you're like, this isn't really a very good movie.
That's the whole point of the movie. I knew that it was bad. There's like one liners. It's a cheesy film.
Oh, cheesy as hell. But great. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Like that's a typical cult type film.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, a lot of John Carpenter's movies are that way. Same with Escape from New York and Escape from LA. I wouldn't call them good movies, but they're fun.
I'm gonna let you guys know that this Kraven film, I'm not coming off as a jealous writer myself, but I wouldn't go in with the greatest of confidence, seeing that two of the writers wrote Uncharted.
The Tom Holland. Mm. Mark Wahlberg movie.
Yes, and Men in Black International was one of them. And
that also didn't do well.
And the only film that two of them worked on together was Iron Man, the original. Now,
okay,
depends because there was a lot of writers brought in to help out with scenes by Favreau when he was having issues with scenes.
And I'm not entirely convinced there was any dialogue written for Robert Downey Jr. I think he riffed the entire movie, to be honest.
Possibly. He was probably more talented than everyone there.
And honestly, if we're looking back, everybody, you know, it's the start of the MCU. First Iron Man, not a great movie.
It wasn't the worst.
Villain, there was no real villain. Like, Jeff Bridges' villain wasn't very good.
Right.
And Iron Man 2 gets a lot of hate, even though, I know, Sam, you haven't seen any of these.
Have you not seen
Iron Man 1.
You've seen Iron Man. Congratulations. Yeah. You saw the one movie that got all of this going.
Yeah.
Now, is Kira seen any of these? Because these feel like Josh movies, like things that Josh would enjoy.
No, she's like only 9. Like, I feel like a lot of her friends have seen it, but like, there's a lot of violence and death, and there's a lot of mature things.
Yeah,
and
yeah, so, that's true.
No,
that's
she's true. Watched like, what was, there was like a all girl with cats Marvel one.
Marvels?
Not the most, yeah, I guess so. She watched that because her friends were watching it,
mm-hmm.
but that's a little bit more like younger.
Yes.
And obviously geared towards girls, but she didn't watch the more recent one, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like Madame Web or whatever. Like
nobody watched that.
Nobody saw Madame Web.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's an all-girl cast as well, and you know, like it's an action film, but like it's skewed a little bit older. So I think that we'll probably start showing it to her maybe like when she's like 11 or 12 or whenever she expresses interest, because right now she doesn't care about stuff. She loves like the animated Spider-Man into the multiverse.
Yeah.
I've not seen either of those, but
there was a really good.
I heard they're both incredible. I just don't like animated movies. I don't know why.
Oh,
I don't know.
Some of the best. Okay, storytelling.
You know what? I there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason. Which is weird because there are certain animated. I love Moana. I'm not gonna lie, love Moana.
Well, you only watched it because you had to, though, right? Because you were the first probably time. With your niece and nephews.
Brooklyn and Billy made me watch it, but I'm not gonna lie, I've watched it many times since without Brooklyn and Billy.
So why don't you just get rid of that stigma all for yourself and just be okay with animated movies?
Watch the Spider-Verse movies.
Be open-minded.
You'll enjoy
it. Watch Studio Ghibli. Studio Ghibli movies are great.
What's Studio Ghibli?
Oh my god. Why don't you tell him? Because it makes me sad.
No, I'm not gonna.
Do you know what Studio Ghibli is?
Honestly, off the top of my head, no. I'm sure I know what it is as soon as I see it.
So it's a very famous Japanese studio that has made a lot of like
Spirited
films.
Away and those.
Like Spirited Away, okay, and Neighbor Totoro.
What's that director? Miyazaki. I couldn't think of his name. I have seen Spirited Away.
They're all on Max. I want to call it HBO Max. But I have to call it Max now because they changed their name and I hate it.
I don't understand why they changed that, by the way. That doesn't.
I do.
Oh. Ponyo and. Yeah. Howl's Moving Castle. Castle in the Sky is a great one. Dang.
I mean, I guess
the thing about HBO Max is that they merged so many times because Time Warner merged, all these things merged. And the thing is that, Warner Brothers Discovery merged with it. And so, as a streaming platform, HBO has too much of a brand recognition for more adult everything. And so Max is a little bit more, even though, there's a whole other part of Cinemax that you can think about.
The adult of Cinemax. Cinemax.
Yeah, I mean, but the actual word, I think, is a lot more user-friendly. It's easier to say. It's easier. And it doesn't have that strong of a brand recognition for the overall public. So. When you go onto Max, you'll see Turner Classic Movies, you'll see Food Network, you'll see all these things that, because of the conglomerates and all the media agencies are all kind of merging, all this programming is under there. I, as a person that works in media, understand exactly why all these shows are there and why all these programs are there. But then as a viewer, you're just you turn on Peacock and you're okay, so all these movies are here, but you don't realize that most of them are Universal films, and most of them are Focus feature films, and they're all owned by the same company. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, we do buy the rights for Yellowstone and a couple other shows, but a majority of them are NBC shows or USA. We own USA, Bravo. It's not all by accident, obviously. Paramount's the same way. They're CBS, Paramount, and they have all the other cable networks. Spike doesn't exist anymore. Comedy Central, MTV, all that stuff. So HBO Max, I think when they were trying to rebrand, they wanted to be broad. They didn't want to be part of a niche. And HBO is too much of a niche. And it's too highbrow adult content. And I don't think that they wanted to, even though to me as a viewer, would much rather keep HBO as a brand. The brand is so much stronger.
Yeah, you'd think. Yeah, but
It has the most Emmys, it has the most awards and everything. But I think it's just more for a broader audience because people watching HGTV might not necessarily watch HBO content.
True.
Yeah.
Fair. It's so weird how everyone has their own little. Well, we've gone back to the fact that there's so many streaming platforms now, and everyone's merged with Disney. It feels NBC is one of the few companies that are no, we're on our own still. But
I have
Hulu, Disney Plus, National Geographic, blah blah blah, all the way.
Paramount Plus, all of them. I have all the streaming services, all of them. Despite the fact I use none of them, except for Peacock for footy. I use Peacock for footy and some Bravo shows, but I don't watch any TV is the thing. I've gotten my dad into Seinfeld, so we're watching Seinfeld now because he had never seen it on the original run. But that's about it. There's no reason for me to pay all this money. I'm just one of those people.
Just keeping it going.
Do your parents watch?
My dad watches he watches most TV all day, so he doesn't do the streaming though. He has TV, yeah. old school cable. But there's no reason. I don't have the attention span. I didn't binge it, but I watched one episode a day, which for me is binging, of the new feud.
Oh, right.
Feud, the Capote and the Swans.
Yeah.
Not bad. Okay. Not bad. The guy who played Capote was actually really good.
I like how you have to say, I forced myself to watch a show.
My mom wanted to watch it. Oh, so I was there you go. Fine, I'll watch it. Not terrible. Didn't love it. Great cast. Always nice to see Molly Ringwald out and about. She doesn't do a lot these days. And Calista Flockhart, for that matter, she doesn't do much. She
doesn't really have to.
Naomi Watts has like a female beauty product line.
Does she?
For people in menopause, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. She was great. She was great in this.
Oh, what was it? Am I the only, now that we're talking about entertainment and watching things, has anyone else seen Dune yet? Is it, no. I'm the only
Josh
one.
Has.
What?
Josh.
Two? Two. Yeah. Part two.
Yeah. Josh watched the first and second.
Yeah.
I need to get around to that. I'm gonna have the same problem I did the first time around, where I waited too long because I should have seen Dune in the theater. Didn't. It left. So I was like, well, shit, now I don't want to watch it on small screen. So I haven't gotten around to watching it. But now it's the same thing's going to happen with two. Everybody keeps saying you got to watch two in the theater. And I need to watch one first. And I don't have the attention span. I still need to watch Oppenheimer every time I turn on. Was it Hulu that one's on?
Oh, Peacock.
Anytime I watch. Oh, is it Peacock? Is it Peacock?
What show?
Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely Universal Picture.
Okay. That come every time I go on there, that pops up at the top. I still mm-hmm. need to watch that. I just 3-hour movies. I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. I'm just terrible. Like, of the Oscar.
You were never able to watch it. We both fell asleep during film class. Like, those are shorter movies.
For
like,
whatever
were,
reason,
like, less
though,
than 2 hours.
The rom-coms we could get through with no problem, like the good rom-coms, but like historical 3-hour movies are rough for me, especially. I'm sure Oppenheimer is fantastic, but I don't find that story terribly interesting. I guess
did you watch 1917?
I did see 1917.
See that? Get through that.
Yeah. Well, that was several years ago when I still had attention. My attention is getting worse and worse.
Okay,
I'm turning into my
father. Boomer.
No, war
can I just
movies.
Say okay, boomer.
Generally speaking, I like war movies, but is yes, Oppenheimer takes place during a war, but it is not a war movie.
Well, it's a
right?
character-driven film.
Exactly. And I'm sure it's fantastic.
You know,
it won an Oscar. It won
like 8 Oscars, so I'm sure it's very, very good. I just
it won. It won 7.
Was that 7?
That
I got
was
a
one
question.
Of the tiebreaker. That was a tiebreaker question.
Right.
Our poll. By the way, there was 153 people in our poll. So
congratulations.
I feel a lot better and more validated because I got 8 points.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I thought there was like 50 people. So
guys,
like, yeah,
that's pretty good.
Okay, Sam, I know you're a fan of the young man, but I got to ask this question to the group here. Is Timothy Chalamet our next it person for a while?
He's been the it guy for a while.
Yeah, but I mean,
already.
Like, right now he's...
Do you know who he's dating?
No, I haven't. Oh, is he still dating Kylie?
They're still together. And
I thought that was over.
No, they're still together.
He only dates Nepo babies.
Yeah, didn't he date Lily Depp before that?
He dated Lourdes Ciccone, who is also known as Madonna's daughter.
And Lily Depp, Johnny Depp.
And
daughter.
Lily Depp Rose. And he might as well date Kaya Gerber when she breaks up with what's his face?
Austin Butler. Then maybe.
I just can't see them together for a long term.
Well, it's interesting.
He's trying to get rid of his voice.
Well, Kylie. She's like morphing into him rather than the other way around. Like, she's gone from her Kardashian look to now she's dressing like more conservatively because I think she feels like he runs in higher brow crowds, which is probably true.
Yeah, and she's also a mom, dude.
Yeah, mom. It's true.
She's
so
a billionaire,
she's
though.
Teen mom.
Yeah, she is a billionaire. Well, yeah, the word on the streets are that she's a billionaire. Do you know we've been pronouncing his name wrong this entire time? He just didn't want to correct anybody.
Timothée.
It's Timothée, yeah.
Yeah, it's French.
Yep.
Just remember that his first
Timothée
last name
Chalamet. God, it's what a great name. Timothée Chalamet. It's a beautiful name. You're right. He seems to be the big guy right now. I mean,
he's also actually a really good actor. Have you seen Call
yes,
Me By Your
very,
Name?
Very good.
I mean,
very
Armie Hammer
good.
Aside, unfortunately, that whole thing. They were like besties for a while, and then that whole thing happened.
No, the reason I brought this up is because his last two movies that came out are the only movies that broke $200 million
Wonka,
in the box office. Wonka
yeah,
and this. And I just saw Wonka.
To be fair, those are like big name things. Like, people, I don't think people are going to see Wonka because it was a Timothy Chalamet.
I think younger people are going to see because Timothy Chalamet's in it.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
There's not that many other people besides Olivia Colman and.
They're trying to make Cindy Sweeney a thing.
There's not that many. Yeah, there's not that many other people in Wonka that really like.
Oh, Cindy Sweeney was in Wonka.
No. I'm just trying to say they're trying to like. You know, oh, Hollywood yeah. tries to make
she
someone.
Out, she came out of nowhere. Well, I think the Dune thing is getting a lot of younger viewers because of Zendaya, too.
Oh, that, too.
Just, it's all, it's all about Timothée.
And Austin Butler. Like, there's a lot of young Gen Z, like...
And also big, old people watching it because we like
we love Dune.
Yeah, Dune. I like the Dune. It needs Sting.
Saw the Kyle MacLachlan version.
It's got to have Sting. Sting in like a little Speedo.
He might make a cameo.
Does he?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say anything. There was another Dune, by the way.
Oh, there was a show, wasn't there?
There was a TV. There was a sci-fi miniseries.
I remember that. Which you've always said all along that it's too much story for a movie.
It should be a series.
I believe that there was in the contract that there was going to be these movies and then they were going to turn it into a TV series. Whether they're going to do a prequel there is going to be a Dune TV show somewhere. Now
it seems like a really good crazy world. Like
oh yeah,
you
know,
I build
mean,
a lot off of.
People always say that Martin or George R.R. Martin. Pretty much took Dune, put it in medieval times.
All the Georges stole from them.
Mm-hmm. So Dune has all the same things. It's politics, it's houses, it is...
The Chosen One?
There's a god in there. Yeah. Except in...
But that's definitely a god thing, yeah.
In Game of Thrones, they had that. They had the red whatever spirit meteor. They never really paid it off, though. So they kind of did, but not really.
They do have a sand country too. Sand people.
Same
with Star Wars. I mean, they're all kind of just borrowing from it. Like it is what it is. I like grew up watching the what's his name? Not David Fincher. David Lynch.
David Lynch.
David Lynch.
They're completely different directors.
Let's be honest.
Not that far off.
Yeah, but did David Fincher write his screenplays at Jumbo's Clown Room?
Probably not.
No.
So
that's what David Lynch did.
Yes, he did. He wrote Twin Peaks there.
Yeah. And honestly, once you know that, and you know Jumbo's Clown Room, totally makes sense.
I mean, I wrote a show in Jumbo's Clown Room.
It's
called Fuck You, Phil. It's about a spy hairdresser.
Oh yeah. I remember Fuck You, Phil. Yeah. It's evidently seems
like I don't know if that would test well in the Bible Belt.
No, it would not.
Probably not. Well, no, you'd have to change it to F you, Phil.
I did. We did change it to F you, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Did I ever tell you a story about I had a Josh worked on Despicable Me and a lot of his friends did because it was a very small studio at the time because Illumination wasn't independent and it wasn't bought by Universal yet, but. It was supposed to be called Evil Me, and it tested really poorly in the Midwest and South and stuff. And so they changed it. They had a competition to change the name. And one of my friends chose Despicable Me, and it was chosen. And I think he got a $1,000 gift certificate to Best Buy or something like that.
Wow.
And that's it. And he it's a whole franchise now.
I feel like that's an incredible story for him to, you said it was a him or her?
Yeah.
It's Katie. Oh yeah. Oh, I didn't. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, because Josh worked on this film with most of his friends.
I did. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's really cool. I feel like that's a cool story for Matt to tell people, but it's also a story people wouldn't believe him, even though it is true. Like it just, you know, it's like Romeo and Michelle inventing Post-its.
Yeah, but if you think about it, Despicable Me, what a weird name for a kid.
It is a weird name. I've never actually thought about it. I was just thinking about it as you were telling the story, and I was like, it is a weird name.
Evil Me would be weird.
Hmm.
Because weren't the sequels, weren't they named after, what are the characters called from Despicable Me?
Minions.
Wasn't the sequel called Minions?
Oh, they have an offshoot. They have Despicable Me 1, 2, 3, and I think the fourth one's out. And then they have a Minions movie.
Rise of Groot, or Gru, or whatever that. Rise of Groot.
is the different movie was The Rise of Groot.
Yes.
Is there really one about? I would watch that. I love Groot.
There should be. There should be. I don't know if they're ever going to do. I know James Gunn's not doing any of the more of those since he jumped ship. But there'd be Guardians could have some spinoffs, I suppose.
Oh, have you guys seen the new? Speaking of Game of Thrones, the new show or movie that David Benioff, I forgot how to say his name, and D.B. Weiss are doing.
No, what are they working on?
I want to say it's. It'll come to me. Sorry. Three Body Problem. Sci-fi show. I want to say on Netflix. And it looks really interesting. That's all. It's sci-fi. Like, I don't want to, like, ruin anything because I don't know, like, what you're supposed to know and what you're not supposed to know. But everything's just based, like, everything that I know is just from the trailer and it looks very interesting. But I love sci-fi stuff. And for me, like, if it's too much sci-fi, I don't like. But if it's, like, slightly sci-fi, totally okay with it.
The only sci-fi I'm looking forward to, Sam, is Beetlejuice 2, and I don't know if that's sci-fi, but I'm going to call it sci-fi.
Yeah, kind of. That's my kind of sci-fi. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watched, like, Battlestar Galactica, you know, and stuff, well, but it wasn't...
That was a smart show, that one.
No, it was great. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I watched it, because it was smart and it was really well done, but it was, like, super sci-fi. It was no Battlefield Earth, but...
Well, what is? Or what was the one that Will Smith was in with his son? Was it After Earth?
After Earth,
I think it was called.
Another M. Night.
Both great movies. Was that was M. Night?
Yep.
Yikes. Man, M. Night's really...
people don't realize this. M. Night has done every single kind of... Every genre of film in his films as his films.
Good for him.
Like, I do appreciate him trying to do every kind of film, but it's obviously been a flop for the most part. Recently,
speaking of M. Night, it's so random, but you know, like when Matthew Perry passed away, there's like all the videos that would pop up of him in interviews. But there's a great the host from the BBC.
Graham Norton.
Graham Norton, there you go. Graham Norton, where Matthew Perry's on there and he tells a story about like him meeting M. Night Shyamalan and they like had the best night ever, whatever. And then he was just so messed up that like. He found out later that it was not him, it was just an Indian guy.
Oh, no.
But the funny thing is that M. Night Shyamalan comes on later, and Graham Norton tells him the story, and he's like, no, I was there, but I left early. So he might have combined...
Just combined the two in a drug haze? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
And so he probably saw another Indian guy, because, I mean, they're in England, right? And thought that he was the same person later on, but like,
oh, that's really funny.
And I said that he like left, but he remembers meeting him and having a good time with him, which I found hilarious.
It's both funny and really sad.
It is.
Just, I mean, but
he was an addict, but he's like Fun Bobby.
Oh,
Fun Bobby.
Yeah, Fun Bobby.
Oh, Fun Bobby's just really dull. What do they call him? Like incredibly. Oh, he called him incredibly dull Bobby. When he was all he'd had was stories about trying to find a hammer in the village in the middle of the night.
You know that time I woke up in a dumpster.
What?
Fun Bobby. He was like all his stories always ended up with him waking up in a dumpster.
Oh, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Those stories have stopped too.
How did that happen?
It never even occurred to me the Fun Bobby, the callback to Romy and Michelle, where he was like the high school guy that they were both in love with. It never occurred to me that both he and Lisa Kudrow did both. I just never thought about it before.
Huh. I think they're doing a sequel, aren't they?
They are. They are, because they did the prequel before, and the prequel sucked.
Oh.
Not that the sequel is going to be much better, I don't think. But
were they in the prequel?
No.
Okay.
It was like when they did the prequel. Dumb and Dumber, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that did not go over well. Then they did the sequel, and it was a little too much time.
Yeah, you can't let too much time go by between the sequels.
It's
kind of...
Oh, no, it's also the comedy.
Like,
that's how comedy died. Like, you don't realize it until it's like you go back and watch it. Like, Scary Movie was hilarious in that moment at that time. You go back and watch it, you're like, not It's kind of
what a time
juvenile.
To be alive when all those parody movies like Scary Movie and Teen Movie and or not another teen movie, excuse me. And then like there were all those parody movies just back to back to back. It was such a thing in like the early 2000s.
Well, I mean, it's been going on since the, you know, Mel Brooks was the one.
Mel Brooks and then the
Bachelor
airplane
Party,
movies.
Like
Naked
House.
Gun. Yeah, no, there have been some great ones, but like these parodies were so close together. It was like everybody had to make one for every genre.
I mean,
well, that's what made Anna Faris famous, right?
Yep. It helped.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then
to me, she's the best in Just Friends with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that's
a, basically she plays a very loose
Britney Spears
version of Paris Hilton. Oh, it's supposed to be Paris Hilton.
Is it supposed to be Paris Hilton? I thought it was more of a Britney Spears kind of thing.
I love that movie.
Either way,
despite the problematic stuff of Ryan Reynolds in a fat suit, I love that movie.
Yeah,
Chris Klein. There's another actor.
Oh, you know what?
Who disappeared?
He just
sorry,
about Chris Klein, but you know who popped in my head? Josh Hartnett, who was in Oppenheimer, who has been kind of taking interviews lately.
Yeah, he's coming.
Kind of making a slow comeback.
He did that Penny Dreadful for a while.
Yeah.
On Showtime, but he did disappear for a while because again, he was a big star in that era, like around the Pearl Harbor time.
Yeah. He took a step back, I believe. I did a fantastic movie called Lucky Number 7. Fantastic. Love that movie.
Oh, yeah, that actually was really good. I forgot about it.
But Chris Klein and him are both similar in that way, in that they both were big for a while, and they, I don't know if they did it on purpose.
I think Josh Hartnett kept doing things.
Well, he had four kids or something ridiculous like that. I think he has a ton of kids.
Oh.
And he kind of just stopped.
And who can forget the two of them made a movie together with Lily Sobieski, Here on Earth.
Oh, right.
Spoiler alert, she dies of knee cancer.
Nate made me watch that when we were in college together.
Yeah, not a good movie.
Was not as good as A Walk to Remember.
No, Walk to Remember was fantastic. I will not hear
and
otherwise.
And I would confuse those movies all the time.
Well, they both involve cancer.
A Walk to Remember and leg cancer.
Yeah.
And I got really confused. But then there's also, remember 40 Days and 40 Nights? Remember Shannon Salsamon when she was like kind of in her height?
Oh, yeah.
And then she became the villainess in The Holiday. Because she dated Jack Black.
Right.
Had
the affair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, these are a bunch of early, mid-2000s, early 2000s names that I've not thought of Shannon Sauce. Wasn't she also in Knight's Tale?
Yes.
No, she was the Icarus for a while.
What was the order? It was the group, those three from Knight's Tale did The Order as well, like a religious film.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I think I saw 40 Days and 40 Nights at an Ackerman screening. I'm almost positive.
That's about right.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Oh, I remember seeing that with my mom.
Oh, so awkward.
Because it was the producers of Notting Hill.
Yeah, ooh, different.
Yeah, and they're British. I get that. But, why would you watch a movie about
because we didn't know
not
that.
Having sex for 40 days.
Wait, like, whatever.
Watch
that,
the trailer, man.
But I didn't expect a sea of boobs to be part of the thing. To be like, oh, hey, mom.
It's all about
you weren't, you weren't expecting nudity in a movie about sex.
It wasn't
There's nudity in Love Actually, dude.
Not
there is. There is nudity.
Yeah,
in Love Actually.
No, Notting Hill. There was no nudity.
No,
it was R-rated.
No,
it was
because
still,
of the nudity clause because she's an actress.
I mean, there was
the whole like controversy in the movie about there's like
they did the whole scene about the butt.
Yeah,
I remember. Yeah. So
I saw Chasing Amy with my mom, and that was awkward.
Did she leave the theater?
There were some very questionable moments. There was no nudity, but there were questionable moments, questionable dialogue. There was a fisting conversation.
Yep.
You know. It's funny because for whatever reason, I just remember this, but Amy said that our old roommate Amy, said that she watched The Secretary with her mom, and that was the most movie to watch.
Did she not know going in what that was about?
She told me it was very awkward.
Was it?
I don't really watch movies with my mom, so I don't have that issue.
Maybe her mom just was a James Spader fan and just went in.
I'm a huge James Spader fan.
I am the biggest James Spader fan. James Spader fan.
His best role is in Mannequin.
Oh, of course. Of course. No. Well, yeah, I'd say
Lesson
Steph
Zero.
From Pretty
Lesson Zero. Yeah.
Not Steph from Pretty in Pink. He was pretty good in Pretty in Pink.
Oh, he's the best villain. Like, so he had that whole streak of that, Less Than Zero, and Mannequin, and he was always like the jerk.
Asshole. He's always the
and
asshole.
And then for some reason, I just always liked him. And then Crash came out, and then and then like.
Oh, that yeah, now, that, that Crash,
wasn't he also
not
in
the
Sex,
Crash
Lies,
Oscar.
Yeah, was he in Sex Lies and Videotape?
Yeah. No, I had a huge crush on him for forever, because he was an asshole.
Yeah, he played it very, very well.
Yeah.
Oh, Two very Days in the Valley.
Oh, I love Two. That was the first time I ever saw Charlize Theron.
Yep.
And I remember that because I was watching the movie and I was like, "Is that Ashley Judd?" Because back in the day, they looked very similar.
Ashley Judd had her had a
oh shit, she had a big run. She had that. I love that the one that she did with Hugh Jackman, the romantic comedy. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
Someone Like You. I watch it all the time.
Someone Like You.
Yes. Greg Kinnear and Hugh Jackman and her. The best movie. I love it.
Yes.
And Ellen Barkin is there too. So.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Oh. So I was going to mention that I watched America's Sweetheart recently, but it was in context to our conversation previously. I don't know why I wanted to bring it up.
Well, that was
what were
great
we talking
movie.
About? We were talking about Fat Suit because Julia Roberts like lost weight.
Oh yeah.
And so she wore it wasn't that bad at all. But the flashback was her 60 pounds lighter, but I just find it so fascinating that Julia Roberts can play the sister of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
They look very similar.
Very, very.
Yeah, they do.
Well, just think about a friend of the show, our friend Andrea, her and her sister, not terribly different.
I was just telling Chen, so me and Chen went to go see the opener of Angel City on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great game. I actually texted Kevin to see if he was there, but he wasn't. But basically, I told her, I'm like, have you seen like the Instagram account? And she's not friends with Andrea's sister, but you know that Jenny is dark hair, blue eyes, and her husband is kind of like, yeah. And her husband is kind of has darker hair too. But one of their daughters.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks
is
just
blonde,
like Andrea.
With really curly hair, just like Andrea. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Like, there's always that one, I guess, in their family that has that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no. Andrea, Greek family, all have olive dark skin, except for Andrea. She had the pale red hair. Yeah.
The ginger
super
came
curly,
through.
That was always the joke, was, are you adopted? And then now her niece looks exactly like her, which is very funny. You're absolutely right.
It's genetics, man. That's why there's like always someone like in the family that randomly has red hair, and the other kids don't. And you're just like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But yeah, it's so interesting to kind of like I've been rewatching a lot of old rom-coms only because I haven't found any good, decent newer ones. I'm waiting to see Anyone But You, but it has not out. It's not out on streaming yet. But I don't really like Sydney Sweeney or Glenn Powell. But some of the clips that I've seen are like, it's kind of cute-ish. And I think like if I'm folding laundry or something in the middle of the night, because obviously it's not for children, like I'll watch it. Like it's one of those things that I'll just put on in the background and watch.
Wasn't that like kind of like their whole shtick going in was that it was a hard R-rated comedy? Like that's what they were going for?
Yeah.
Hugh, talking about like people who are in like the new Josh Hartnett slash whatever is Glenn Powell. He's like the new It guy. I think Top Gun Maverick kind of, because charismatic as hell. It's funny that the nemesis in the Top Gun movies is always the most charismatic one in the movie, like Val Kilmer in the first one and now Glenn Powell in this one.
Well, I mean, he was in a very small film called Set It Up.
Did we all freeze here? That has happened. Okay, I'm gonna pause.
Wait. I can see.
Oh, okay. Are you moving again?
Yeah.
We had a pause there. Everyone stopped, and it was like, okay.
So, Sam, you're not talking about the Set It Up, the bank robber movie with Queen Latifah.
That's Set It Off.
Oh, sorry.
I understand your confusion, but Set It Up is like, you know, like when you're scrolling through Netflix and you see like you're looking, you're in the mood for a cheesy rom-com and you're like, oh, these are two people that I vaguely look familiar, but they're not super famous. It's Glenn Powell and Zoe Deutsch. And they're like stuck in these like high powered, stressful job in New York. And they're trying to set up both of their bosses, who is Lucy Liu and Taye Diggs. and they're trying to get them to like start dating so that way their work life would be a lot better. And you know, things happen and things ensue and it's like a rom-com, you know. And so I know him from that movie, sadly, just because I've seen it probably like when I was, you know, folding laundry like I always do or whatever.
You to a rom-com I'm looking forward to, sorry, real quick, Hugh.
No, no.
Because I'm so glad that she's back, is the new Lindsay Lohan one on Netflix, Luck of the Irish.
Oh.
I think it's called Luck of the Irish. It's called Irish something. I think it's called Luck of the Irish.
I was also
recommending it to me on Netflix.
I am loving this Lindsay Lohan renaissance. I'm so happy.
Good for her.
Yeah. Sam, for a newer... There's a newer rom-com from Kimmy's sister-in-law, Someone Great. It's on Netflix,
I believe. That.
Oh, you've seen that one. Okay.
It's like a drama.
Too. Oh, it's a drama? Like, oh, okay.
It's emotional.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
It's about a breakup. No, it's good. It's a really good movie, but you have to be in the mood to watch it because it is kind of a downer. It's about a breakup.
Okay.
But I enjoy it because I like Jane the Virgin. I forgot her name.
American Ferrera?
And
no.
No, it
Gina
was...
Rodriguez.
Gina Rodriguez.
Hold on.
I thought it was...
Gina Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. You're right. No, Gina Torres is a different person.
Yeah.
I know that. Yeah.
So it was really good, and I enjoyed it, but it's about a breakup, so it's kind of hard to watch. Like, you can't just put it on and be like, oh, fun, you know?
Gotcha.
How is Kimmy doing?
I mean, she's got a baby, so she's staying busy there. So.
Good for her.
I got to give her a call, actually. Thinking of
that. Oh, by the way, I'm finally sending out our holiday/New Year's cards.
Oh.
It's taken forever.
It's been
3 years since we sent one out, like, because post-resi. Like, I think 2020 was our last one. And then we had resi, like, the following year in October, and we tried to. I even have, like, announcements that were made that I just never sent out. Yeah. So, like, I'm sending the announcements out to you guys 2 years late.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well, this is, Hugh, a nice way to tie up this episode is, I think, Sam, my favorite one of yours was the William and Kate.
No, I know. So you know what's funny? That one of my old coworkers...
The goatee one was great, too.
Yeah. No, but one of my old coworkers looks a lot like her. And I texted her yesterday. I'm just like, hey, you wouldn't happen to be in England, would you? ? And she's like, ha ha. But she looks a lot like her. And she dressed up like her for Halloween 1 year. And I'm like, if they're going to use a double, I mean, my friend Jenna looks exactly like her. It's so funny. She just is not as tan, I guess. But she's tall, thin. Like, she looks exactly like her. It's amazing. But I just don't know. Like, going back to when I jumped in, like, I don't know all the theories. Like,
there's so many. Dead.
So many.
So many.
But maybe she's just sick and she just let her be.
I mean, that's what the royal family, what do they say? It's from Buckingham. They always say, like, from the palace. That's what they've been saying all along, is that she was not going to pop up until after Easter anyway. So why is everybody freaking out?
But I wonder why they felt the need to post a photo. They didn't need to do that at all. This whole thing would have been avoided.
It made it so much worse. They could have just said all along, hey, she's not well enough to be in the public eye. And people would have been like, okay.
They already put out that you know, notification. They had the communications. They set themselves up really well for her to not show up until post Easter.
Yeah, exactly.
But they just decided to, you know, whatever the hell they wanted to do.
They were releasing, like, they released some grainy photos of her in a car that where you could not tell it was her at all. Yeah. Like, they, how is the royal family this bad at it? Their PR team.
Because it's no longer the queen.
But they've gone through so many scandals, you'd think the PR team would be on top of this.
Literally the queen.
Yeah, it's a different team.
And on that fine note, folks, we're going to get out of here. So.
Right. But also, I was going to say, what Harry and Meghan think of all this.
Oh, I don't think they care. Like, someone
Meghan.
Pierce Morgan reached out to Meghan Markle to make a statement. And Meghan's like, why? Like, Kate Middleton hated Meghan Markle. So.
Also,
oh, yeah. I feel bad. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. I don't think about you at all. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the best elevator exchange. I love John Hamm. By the way, Nate, if you want to watch a show, it's not on Peacock anymore because Peacock shit the bed, basically. But Girls 5 Eva is so good. It's like everything.
Oh, the Girls 5 Eva
with Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, they come. It's like
Lucy Phillips, Sarah Bareilles, what's her name, Renee something from Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
No, Renee from Hamilton.
The other one, yeah.